This is the MMA Report with Guns.
Only two guys to a fight.
The fights. The fighters. The behind-the-scenes info that matters now.
Someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out. The fight is over.
The MMA Report.
Welcome back to the MMA Report here on ABC Radio. Very excited, very stoked on this because we officially launched the show tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. Shout out to all the, well, not everybody, I guess, is a first-time listener. So that's kind of cool. But many of you know me from covering the UFC here on, and MMA in general, here on WABC Radio. And we're stoked, we're honored because in studio right now we have one of, I don't like when people describe you as an up-and-coming fighter because you've been busting your ass for years now. But I guess when it comes to UFC, of course, many new faces get to see you. Israel Adesanya, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm gravy. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're here at Madison Square Garden. I saw your tweet this morning. You got to experience Madison Square Garden yesterday firsthand. Talk to me about the emotions, what went through it. It's the world's most famous arena, my man.
Yeah, for me, it was surreal. Like, as soon as I walked in there, you kind of, I think a lot of guys are going to get spooked. They forget, like, it's a different kind of feel. It's something to it because it's been around since, I think, 1890. I saw it on the wall. But, yeah, you walk in there and it's just like, holy shit. And then this is before the game started itself. So I was kind of standing there and they gave me the jersey. Cameras are on me. They wanted to take pictures and all this shit. And it was like a lot, so I was just kind of like, man, this is crazy. But I'm glad I kind of got to feel the energy, experience that, you know, kind of. I even did the walkout, same walkout to the arena
as
well.
That you'll be doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then during the game, my wrestling coach, I took him with me. So sometimes I kind of like just check in with myself and just like, I'm soaking everything all in, but I still make sure I'm like, I'm dialed in so I can kind of visualize like I'm in the locker room, I'm doing this, and I'm like, okay, cool. And I'll just soak it back all in. But it was cool, man, like. I loved it, man.
And that was for the Knicks-Nets. Of course, we're talking UFC 230.
Go Knicks.
Madison Square Garden. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. You got the jersey, right? Yeah. You're all set now.
Yeah.
Big fight. Cormier versus Derek Lewis is the headliner. We got a great card. But speaking of this card, I felt like this thing was almost plagued to ever even happen, man.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
If you can't make it, you know, you can't make it. I mean, this is a hard game, so... We train like, I think we're the best athletes in the world because of the amount of work we have to do. People don't really get to see that kind of stuff unless they really look into it. But, yeah, so I can understand injuries happen, people right. get hurt, shit like that. But, you know, some people can't hack it. I mean, you know, I've been there before. I've fought with many injuries. Everyone kind of comes into a fight with something kind of off or not 100%. But right. this is part of the game. But there's levels to this shit. So, yeah, if you can't hack it, get out the kitchen.
And it is wild what you were just saying is the fact that perhaps for the not even the average fan out there, but I think more so in this, obviously it's combat sports, so it might make sense. But compared to other sports, more people are getting hurt in this from training, or all of a sudden, you know, you're getting obviously clearly bruised and everything, but it seems that the injuries do happen in training camp more so than actually in the octagon itself.
Facts. Like, you have to train smart. Like, MMA is a relatively new sport, you know, started in 1993. With the UFC, that is, there was Valetudo before that, you know, no holds barred. But we're still kind of learning, and it's evolving so fast. So people are finding new training methods, like even with cutting weight, it's always changing. So you have to be able to know your body. Your coaches have to be able to know your body, communication between the fighter or the athlete and the coach, and be able to just, like, train smart, not just train hard. Know when to put your foot on the pedal, because if you have a car, right, like a Ferrari or whatever, even like right. a beat up whoopty or whatever, you put your foot on the gas, you blow the engine out. You know, and a lot of guys think like, yo, if you're feeling like tired today or whatever, nah, you just train past it. There's certain times you have to push, but there's certain times you have to take your foot off the gas as well, because rest is part of training. You can't just put your foot on the gas and blow the whole engine out. So over the years, I've had, like you said, this is my fourth fight in the company now coming up, but I've had years.
In 8 months, by the way. Yeah.
Man, I mean, who else? I'm busy, man. I'm a busy man.
People are like, oh, well, Derek Lewis is turning things around so quickly. Well, dude, you fought four fights in 8 months.
Yeah.
That is wild. That needs to be commended.
I fought in 2016. I fought over 20 times. Yeah. And this was like mainly in China with kickboxing and a little bit of MMA, but I fought around the world. And I was fighting like there was a time I think I fought four times in 5 weeks, you know. So that's something that a lot of people can't do. I've done, you know, kickboxing fights or a kickboxing tournament at heavyweight. One day and 4 days later, I did a boxing tournament at cruiserweight, you know.
That's why
so
we love you, man.
And you got to fight yeah. smart. A lot right. of guys with their style, they can't do it because they come in there and they're not smart. They're not defensively clued up. So they kind of go in there, take a lot of bangs, a lot of bruises and whatnot. But if you're smart about this, and for me, I'm trying to get in here, rob the bank, and get the fuck out. I'm not trying to, you know, stay here longer than I need to be. A lot of guys, honestly, they stay way too long, and it's and you see it, and it's hard to tell them because, you know, fighters, I know fighters are what they think. You just kind of, it's a prideful thing, and some guys, this is all they know. But for me, yeah, I'm keeping it smart. I'm fighting. I'm not safe. I'm still exciting. I'm never boring. Don't get it twisted. They think getting, like, fighting safe or fighting smart is boring. Hell no. I don't look for fight of the nights. I still have fight of the nights, and I still like my last fight with Brad Tavares.
Right.
That was one of the fights of the night. But I dominated the whole thing from round one to round five. Yeah. And, yeah, I had a good time.
Many reasons why we love you. First of all, the diehard fans have known about you for years, and you were able to get that fan base. You know, it's like knowing a band or a rapper who's young in the game.
All the hipsters.
Yeah. And you just...
I knew him before he was cool, man.
Yeah, totally, right? Yeah. Meanwhile, look at... Yeah, although we kind of both dressed up.
Plan it up.
But, you know, so you have the legitimacy in the actual for the diehard fans out there. But also, you know, you're a straight shooter, you're a straight talker. Plus, you've been able to back it up in the octagon, which is even more important than anything else, because how many talkers have we seen out there that can't back it up? So, I mean, you got the full game going on for you, man.
I mean... People think, oh, he talks, you know, like the same thing, talking this. But I'll tell you one thing. And like, say, example, in high school, if two kids were about to fight, right, you know, they talk shit at lunchtime, and maybe a teacher breaks it up, and you know, I'll see you after school. You're like, yeah, what's up? I'll see you at the playground or at the field. From that point on till 3 o'clock, guess what everyone's doing? Talking about the fight.
Right.
And then if they run into each other in the hallway or some shit, they talk shit to each other and whatnot. It's part of fighting. You know what I mean? Everyone believes in themselves, they're going to win. And then, like, 3 o'clock, everyone gets to the spot. They get ready, one side. They meet in the middle, and they have a fight. Sometimes it's like a five-second snooze fest, and sometimes it's like a real crazy fight. But it's the anticipation, the hype.
The build-up.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's been part of fighting for generations. So people who try and say, oh, the UFC is becoming like the WWE now. It's like, nah. The WWE hijacked the fight formula and just saturated it and like over, what do you call it, sensationalized it,
right,
if you will. So, yeah, I mean, this is part of it, but at the end of the day.
Comes down to what happens.
Exactly.
In that
if you
cage,
can't
man.
Back it up, it ain't shit. You ain't shit. So if you're going to talk and believe in yourself, back it up at the end of the day.
It's UFC 230. It's later tonight, Madison Square Garden, Israel Adesanya fighting Derek Brunson. Let's talk about this because well, you guys have both been jarring at each other, which is fine, as we just said. But, all right, he's got his wrestling background. Lately, he's been trying to – not lately, but, of course, he's got some fierce punching that he can do as well. He's going to try to go for that takedown, man. You need to block the takedown. You know this, right?
Of course.
Come on, man. I'm telling you this. You need to block it. He's going to go for the legs early on. You got to be able to defend that.
Everything. I mean, okay, for example, if you look at the last one, 229, Conor versus Khabib. So even Conor, in his post-fight analysis, said he was too defensive-minded. He was too worried about his wrestling. So he didn't really spar with any stand-up guys as much, mainly sparred with wrestlers and stuff. So that's why in round two he got caught. So this is not just wrestling. This is not just kickboxing. This is right. MMA. I took my time to get to the UFC because I was preparing for this day. All this shit that's happening right now, I started this today now at, 8 a.m., I'm going to be done by 8 p.m. This is like a whole media day for me. So I've prepped every little bit. At the end of the day, in the cage, this is MMA. So, yeah, he's a wrestler. He's going to try and take me down. But he has a lot of clumsy first-round finishes as well. So I have to prepare for everything. You know what I mean? And if he thinks I'm just a stand-up guy, well, try me. See how I am off my back. I'll show him what my top game is like. I mean, this is MMA. This is mixed martial arts, and I'm mixing it up.
So you feel like you're all set as far as training and just mentally prepared for this?
Yeah, 100%.
What it can bring, absolutely, right?
Yeah. Of course. Most of my training camp was about me and evolving my game. But about 35%, 40% of it was about his habits, his the way he moves, the way he kind of – the side he likes to favor, shit like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but only that was about 35%. The rest of it was all about me and evolving my game. I worry about me. I don't worry about the other guy because it's all about – what you can do. If you don't show up, this is my fight. I like, seriously, stylistically, I mean, it's an insult to me in my head because of my ego, right, to compare him to me.
He did call this a step down. Do you have any? And I was like, yeah, he'll step down on your face.
Facts. No, but I mean, like, same shit. I've had 3 fights in the UFC now. Every single one of them, they say the same thing. Even my last guy, Brad Tavares, came out in the first round. Before the fight, the weigh-in's really confident, as you should be. But then after the first round, after they feel me, after they feel that energy, you come out like, yo, we cool? Let's get them. Like, after the fight, I got to whoop that ass first. Yeah. Then after the fight, I can touch gloves and be like, good fight. But they say all the, it's different when you're in front of it. Like, when you're in front of me, when you feel the speed, the frame rate, I'm coming at them, they can't handle it. So I'm really hard to mimic. You know, I'm a copycat ninja. I'm really, really hard to mimic.
The overall, obviously, we got a have a legit card for all the first time people out there. You can go to restaurants, you can go to bars, you can order on pay per view. Of course, the prelims are on FS1 beforehand. The whole entire thing going on. But this is you got our boy Weidman, who's a Long Island guy. He'll be fighting. You've got, of course, Derek Lewis during the quick turnaround against DC. Should be fun there because you know, Cormier is becoming, well, not even becoming. People know about him now even outside of the UFC, whether it's because of his broadcasting.
Becoming
he just did something with the
name.
NFL, becoming a household name. Absolutely. So this is a set. This is a stoked and or a stacked card, I should say, man. And you're on it. I know for us fans out there, us journalists as well, that it's all it's the full package. They were able to put it together, a stacked card, man.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've been around the world. I've fought on so many different shows. But nothing compares to the UFC. Like, a lot of people, they don't... Behind your keyboard or behind your phone, it's different. When you actually work with the company, they are a well-oiled machine. They know what they're doing. They have the formula. You know, that's why they're the fastest-growing sport in the world. I mean, who else? So, yeah, they know what they're doing. Anytime, like, shit happens, you know, fallouts and whatnot, they know how to kind of, like, mix it up and find the right guys. And sometimes they even end up making a better card, you know? So, yeah, this is a different level to the UFC. And people don't really realize from the outside until you're in the company, and then everything kind of like, you're in the matrix, and it's like, oh, shit, that's why this is like that. And there's so much you can say, but there's so much you don't know. Trust me.
The real quick, just a couple more questions. It's Guns. It's the MMA report here on WABC Radio, 7 to 8 p.m. It's going to be a new weekly show each and every single Saturday. So shout out to the powers that be for allowing this to happen. Got a great show, kickoff show. My boy Israel Adesanya with us right now ahead of UFC 230. My man, yes, sir. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there we go. See,
appreciate
I got the
it,
hype too, man.
See, we out here, man. Definite,
like,
definite.
I can believe what I'm saying, man.
Of course,
like,
of course. I can tell you're a fan. And I'm a journalist, kind of like... Trying, I can tell. Okay, you looked at Wikipedia, or whatever, and try and get your facts. But yeah, I can tell you, you dabble.
There we go. A little bit. Yeah, no, a lot with a lot of things. So it's
definite.
A lot of fun.
All the parts.
Listen, I want to ask you about the mental game because, as I said coming in, it's not like you just had, you know, three UFC fights. Although UFC is the pinnacle, it is what everyone's fighting to get to. So the media is unlike anything else. The hype is like anything else. You can now get recognized in more places because it is UFC. But the mental game, you've been able to, you even mentioned before and you've said in past interviews that, you know, you built yourself up to get this far. You just didn't want to just jump into it. But the hype is there. Let's be honest. The hype is there. You bring it upon yourself in complete honesty, but you've been able to back it up. What do you do to separate yourself from, say, like Ngannou? Ngannou had a ton of hype for him, but mentally he's just not there anymore. You look at Paige, she got a lot of hype as well too, but it's kind of fallen a little bit, obviously injuries. But I think Ngannou, like, I mean, dude was a beast and just does not have it anymore in the cage. I don't know what's happening there. What separates you?
I think it's just like what it is. It's experience and work. So Ngannou has only been training for like 3 years. You know what I mean? I've been training this shit since 2008. It's a long time.
Okay.
And I fought around the world. If I put it all together with kickboxing, boxing, and MMA, I've had over 100 fights, excluding street fights, allegedly. But, like, yeah, I mean, I'm a nice guy. Don't worry about it. But, like,
totally.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's about experience and work. So, for me, the hype has always been there since my first fight. After my first fight, every single fight after, no matter what, from the local grassroots scene, people are like, oh, my God, you got to watch this kid, this Israel kid. He's this. And I'm just like, whoop. And there's times in the past where I've let that get there, and I still will pass, but then having the right people around you to kind of like let you know, like, hey, chill the fuck out.
Keep you grounded.
Yeah, exactly. And having the right, you got to understand, you got to realize that you're the shit, but you got to realize you ain't shit. If you think you know everything, that's when you start to fuck up. That's when you start to fall off. So for me, it's constantly finding that balance of like, knowing I'm the shit or knowing I ain't shit. And then my teammates as well. You got guys like Dan Hooker. Mm. You know, he's a lightweight, but my man can work. And he works with me as well. So we go back and forth. Shane Young, Kai Kara France, and a whole gang of other killers as well from little old Auckland, New Zealand that people don't know about. They're going to find out soon. So those are my teammates, my coach as well, Eugene Behrman. He's the guy that kind of like, he cracks the whip. He cracks the whip. So I need someone like that for me because I'm a crazy dude. I like to go off the rails sometimes. So I need someone to kind of like.
Me too. Yeah. Hey. Where are we drinking afterwards after you win?
Well, me and my team, we're trying to get to Hell's Kitchen, so I don't know whoever runs. I mean, Gordon Ramsay or whatever. I just want to chill because it's Saturday night afterwards.
Well,
I like
Hell's
to chill.
Hell's Kitchen is also an area in Manhattan.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, I saw the restaurant down like in Times Square somewhere.
Yeah,
so I was kind
of
like.
There's a restaurant there, and there's also the area of Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen,
too. Tons of bars, tons of good club scenes.
No, so. That's Sunday. Maybe Sunday I'll do something nice because I heard there's a.
Drop me a tweet, all right? The
gun
show.
What do you call it? There's a race or. What is it, Jeff?
Oh, the marathon.
The marathon. So everyone's going to be lit. Yeah. I'm going to be part of that. But Saturday night, what I like to do after a fight, I go over the tape myself. I analyze it for hours. Jeff knows. And then I just like to hang out with my team.
Gotcha.
Like my close circle and just kind of, you know, drink, talk shit, play video games, whatever. Right, but afterwards, I'll drop you a tweet Sunday at the marathon.
It's the gun show with the
Zane. Yeah, the gun show.
All right. Yeah,
absolutely. Got you.
Listen, Derek Brunson, watch out. It's going to be a lot of fun, but he's coming for you. And then, obviously, we need that title. We need that title shot right afterwards. Relatively afterwards, right?
No, definitely. Well, I want to see who wins with Bobby Knuckles, Robert Whittaker, the champion.
Yeah.
And Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah,
I want to see
because that's obviously gonna
But there's a rivalry always between Australia and New Zealand. So I'm the All Black. You know, don't worry about the rugby team. I'm the All Black.
Gotcha.
And I want Robert Whittaker to win so I can grab him and bring his people over to Auckland, New Zealand, Spark Arena, and we can sell that bitch out and snatch the belt off him. That's what I see. That's what I really see happening.
So UFC 230 is later tonight, Madison Square Garden. Order the pay-per-view, get your friends together. This is definitely one that you need to see. There's going to be great fights, but there's also, you know, there's hype behind it. There's big names. You got everything. This card really stacked up to be really perfect despite all the setbacks. I was looking forward to seeing Poirier fight. I like Dustin, but...
Same, Nate Diaz-Poirier. Yeah, that was going to be sick, bro. God. That would have been a good main event. Like, because people were trying to say, oh, that's not a good main event. I thought that was adequate. That was an adequate main event, but... Shit happens, man.
Yeah, it's all good. And you'll be fine just a couple fights before.
I'm stealing
the
show. So. I don't even care, man. Whatever.
That's how we roll. We're a good team.
Definitely.
How far can you kick a soccer ball?
See, I'm Nigerian, so I'm the only one who had two left feet. I'm big and black. I can't play basketball, but I can dunk. My handle's a shit, but I can dunk. And somehow this is the only thing I can do. So if I can kick a soccer ball, I can kick a head. Then, yeah, pretty far.
Pretty far?
Yeah, right, pretty far.
All right, well, we'll have to try that out, right? We'll have to see. Yeah.
Bring back soccer kicks in MMA. I mean, go back to Japan. You remember those there? Sure. Like, when you kick the... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those ones. Bring back soccer kicks in MMA. Then we'll see how far I can kick them.
There it is. Israel Adesanya, appreciate you coming on with guns on the MMA Report. Thanks, man. Good luck tonight, all right?
Likewise. I appreciate it. Thank you.
The MMA Report with guns. Production of WABC Radio New York and WABCRadio.com.